As we begin our message for this morning, we will be again looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is, in fact, the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And so, as we journey from the wilderness to faithfulness, we will begin with Jesus's journey to the wilderness. And this is what it says at Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so as we enter into this season of Lent, for our sermon series, From the Wilderness to Faithfulness, I think it's a good idea to start here. Know who you are. Know who you are. I read an interesting book some years ago, and the title of the book was To Thine Own Self Be True. The premise of the book, of course, was that for a person to live life in its fullest, being as healthy mentally and emotionally and physically as they could be, a person has to be true to who they are. They have to be true to their value system. They have to be true to their character. They have to be true to who they have come to be through their various experiences, learning to dismiss those things that have a tendency to pervert them while developing those traits and qualities that enhance who they truly are. In short, the book begs the question, who are we? Who are we really? If our lives are any indication of what this book points to, then we all have some work to do to finally be true to ourselves. And perhaps there's even a greater question and more work if being true to ourselves means knowing who we are. You see, brothers and sisters, according to our history and our text today, being true to ourselves means absolutely nothing if we don't first know who we are. You can't be true to yourself if you're ignorant of yourself. So let me ask this question. Would you take a bribe? Would you take a bribe? And before we tell ourselves no, let's be mindful of all the little lies we tell ourselves to justify our actions with the idea that we'll get something out of it when we do. Let's make sure that we haven't already sold ourselves short or sold ourselves out. Would you take a bribe that went against everything you stood for in order to get what you wanted or what someone else believed should be important to you? Would you be willing to break the rules of integrity about who you believed yourself to be in order to accept something that you felt you truly needed? In this season of Lent, we are being called by the Spirit of God and the nature of the season to enter into a time of denying ourselves so that we might reflect on who we are and enter into a time where we might draw closer to God and fill in that gap between how we live and who we are by virtue of our professed identity as children of God. Now, denying ourselves can be a very tricky thing because on the one hand, we might deny ourselves something that's unsure in the future for something that's certain right now, believing that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Or we might deny ourselves the advantages that come when we hold on to our integrity now, only to give up our integrity later to get something that's been promised to us. That's the nature of our life and story today. Jesus was offered a bribe. That he was in the wilderness is not a coincidence. And that he was tempted in the wilderness is not by coincidence. This story is there to show us a mirror image of our lives to some extent and to offer us a living example of how we're supposed to respond when hit with those challenges and temptations that will eventually come when we find ourselves out in the wilderness of life. It may be that at those times, we may not be clear about who we are, about what we're supposed to be doing, about which direction our life is supposed to be taking. Maybe we aren't even clear about what's going on in our life. But what is clear is that we need to be alone. It may be one of those times when being alone, finding a wilderness place, can be the best thing for us. But just because we want to be alone doesn't mean that we will be. And sometimes it's when we're alone that we are the most vulnerable. God wants us to know that being alone doesn't need to be, nor does it have to be, a fearful place as long as we know who we are. You see, friends, knowing who we are means knowing that in our lifetime, we will be tempted by many things. Just as Jesus was tempted, we too will be tempted by a desire to satisfy the things that we hunger for physically, things that are so easy to get if we just say the right things. We'll be tempted to have power, the desire of everyone to know according to our agenda that God is faithful, and lastly, to have absolute power. Those temptations that Jesus faced were designed to attack him at his weakest point in the moment of his greatest need. And like Jesus, we're tempted too. We hunger for many things. We hunger for people to know us when we don't know ourselves. We hunger for things that we think will satisfy us when we believe that nothing else will. We hunger for things that we don't have and don't need, but look very, very good to us. And we hunger for proof in times of doubt that God is near. And when we hunger, when that craving begins to roll over us like a wave of water. We believe that if the right circumstances present themselves and we take advantage of it, that if we take the bribe, it will be a win-win situation for everybody. And yet the obvious answer for all of life's challenges is to know who we are. The obvious challenge is to develop into who we're supposed to be so that we might live our lives with integrity. The obvious answer is to be true to ourselves, to know who we are, and therein lies the problem. Knowing who we are. That's the challenge for all of us. Knowing who we are. Because sometimes we identify ourselves by saying that what we do is who we are. Sometimes we identify ourselves by the hats we put on. Sometimes we are defined by a particular skill set, but none of those things truly defines us or tells us who we are. There was a movie once called The Bourne Identity. And Jason Bourne was an operative who had learned many things that came to him. And although he still doesn't know his identity, he has strange instincts and observations that identify who he may have been at one time. And yet, if we watch and we listen, we'll discover that none of what he knows gives him any idea about who he really is.
I'm not making this up. These are real. Who has a safety deposit box full of money and 6 passports and a gun? Who has a bank account number in their hip? I come in here, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm catching the sidelines and looking for an exit.
I see the exit sign too. I'm not worried. I mean, you were shot. People do all kinds of weird and amazing stuff when they're scared. Yeah.
I can tell you the license plate numbers of all 6 cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting up at the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is the cab of the gray truck outside. And at this altitude, I can run flat out for a half mile before my hands start shaking. Now, why would I know that? How can I know that and not know who I am?
Knows a lot of stuff, but doesn't know who he is. I wonder if that's how we are. We learn a lot of things in life, things that give us special skills, things that teach us special talents, things that, for all practical purposes, are designed to help us to know who we are. And the truth is that in the wilderness of life, where we are asked to do certain things that compromise our integrity, that challenge all of our assumptions about who we think we are, and offer us a bribe to buy into the things of the world that are nothing more than temptations to deceive us about who we really are. I served a church in Topeka, Kansas. And in that church, I was busy. I served on at least 5 different agencies within the community. I played keyboard and piano for 2 of the choirs. It seemed like every week we had people joining the church. And as God is my witness, it would seem like when five people joined, three people would die. And I thought I was doing everything that was possible. And I had the audacity to stop one day and ask God, who am I? And God profoundly said, you are my child. Now be still and know that I am God. You see, brothers and sisters, that's who we are at our core. Outside of the things we do and the things we say, the places we go, we are children of God. That's who we are. We are children of God who from time to time are tempted while we're in the wilderness of life. We are children of God who from time to time suffer from temporary amnesia and seek the pleasures of our flesh, are caught by the lure of power, and sometimes dare to test God because we doubt that God will be faithful. And who of us hasn't at some point been tempted to forget who we were? Who of us hasn't at one time or another wished that God was a drive-through God where we could name what, when, where, why, how God should respond to our needs? Who of us hasn't wished that we had the power over others, even if it was only our spouses or our children or our parents or our teachers or our doctors or our neighbors or maybe the person that just cut us off in traffic? We've all had momentary delusions of grandeur where for a moment we wished that we were God. And I'm sure that somewhere at this very moment, there's someone who is coming to the realization that they've made a deal with the devil and now they can't change their decision. Somewhere, there's a young girl who made a deal with the devil who said, if you loved me, you would, and she knew that she shouldn't, but she did, and now she's trying to tell her family that she's pregnant. And the devil who made the deal with her is nowhere to be found. How many people at the end of the, if you trusted me, you could take one more drink and still be able to drive okay, have awakened to their yielded temptation with a dead child, a brother, a sister, a parent, a friend, or all of the previously mentioned to show for it. And right now, there's someone who's being tempted to make a deal with the devil. And the only thing that will save them is if they know who they really are. I know that the very nature of who we are will be challenged by the illusion of who we are not. On a personal level, friends, the problem of our world and of our community are not caused by outside distractions. Yes, we will be tempted to choose among all kinds of things. We'll be tempted to choose self over God and satisfaction over fulfillment and proof over faith. We will at one time all be asked to forget who we are as children of God and trust the world to take care of us. It is full of people who play the role of the devil, ready to make a deal with us while promising us the world and delivering nothing. It's full of people who are full of deceptions and have truths, always promising us that the grass is really greener on the other side of the fence. But the word of God reminds us of who we are and who we are not. The word of God instructs us about what to do and what not to do. The word of God reminds us that we are children of God, created in the image of God, motivated by the Spirit of God, consecrated by the blood of Jesus Christ, dedicated to the glory of his life, elevated by the power of God, celebrated by the joy of God, and anticipated by the kingdom of God. We are children of the Almighty God and heirs to the promises of Jesus Christ. So The word of God informs us and reminds us of who we are. So we should know who we are, brothers and sisters. And when our test comes, then like Jesus, we can use the word of God to hold back the lure of temptation. If we know who we are, then we can be fulfilled by the word of God instead of frustrated by the word of God. We can trust God instead of testing God. We can serve God instead of hoping to make God serve us. We can praise God instead of seeking praise. If we know who we are, then we can confess who we are by what we say, proclaim who we are by what we do, and demonstrate who we are by the power of God's word. If we know who we are, we can avoid some of life's deceptions. You see, brothers and sisters, by the power of God and by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, we are children of God. God's blessings are ours to have when we know and claim who we are, and the angels will come and minister to us when we need them. And that is the word of God today for the people of God today.